Rolling. You rolling?
There's metronome in my ear. Yeah, I am now.
Okay. 1, 2, 3. I think it's your turn to introduce.
Good morning.
I thought you were about to sing.
And welcome to the post-production podcast. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Kiri.
And welcome to the post-production podcast.
Yep.
This is a podcast, in case you were not aware. What do we do here, Kiri?
Well, we podcast.
No, really?
So, Rachel and I are two AV technicians who happen to be female women, and we share our experiences here and talk about some of the crazy things in the world of media production. But first and foremost, it's been a monumental, what's the word? It's a landmark week? It's the week.
It's the week.
That's Spotify, yes.
It's Wrapped Week.
It is Spotify Wrapped Week, yes. And since we are podcasters, we get our own little statistics for how you guys have been listening to us on Spotify specifically. So I have it pulled up. I think Rachel's already seen it, right?
I 100% have observed the whole thing.
Okay.
I could not help myself.
I know. I love this. I love this. So I'm just going to blind react right here. Post-production podcast, your rap has arrived. Your wrapped has arrived. Misread
your
that.
Your rap has arrived means it's lunchtime.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Got me thinking about chicken wraps and stuff. Okay. Whoosh. Okay. The effects on the desktop are kind of cool. All right. In 2022, you did your thing. The people loved it. Is it going to move? Or do I need to click?
You have to click along at the bottom.
Okay. Whoosh! Everything's coming at me. Whoa!
It's very three-dimensional.
This would be fun in VR. Whoa! Or dizzying. You created 646 minutes of new content. That's more than 93% of other creators in the arts category.
Iconic.
Yes. Although I think we should probably move to comedy in there as well. I think we'd probably get more of an audience if people knew that we were comedy. Yeah, tell your friends about us.
Production comedy is kind of a niche.
646 minutes. I think last year we made more, because this year we took a 4-month break and last year we took a 3-month break.
True. Yeah.
So, and yeah, last year it was over 1,000.
Release every other week versus last year when we were
it was every week and then every week. Came to a screeching halt and then released every week again. Yeah. This is a good pace. I like this pace. It's every other week. It's manageable.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. So 646 minutes. I feel every single one of those. Yeah, for every minute, I probably spend about 5 to 10 minutes editing, I would say.
Yeah, that checks out.
Probably somewhere in there, yeah.
Because I don't think listeners realize, you get a 30 to 40 minute episode. We record for usually an hour and a
an
half
hour,
to
yeah.
deliver that.
It's an hour.
And then additionally, Kiri goes in and cuts out all the long awkward pauses and ums and uhs and mouth noises and AC noise and all the things.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, cutting out the AC noise is the quickest part. I just got to push a button for that. But
true.
Man, last episode for 20 seconds during one of my talking points, there was just this really high pitched something going on in the background. That the denoising effect did not take out. So I had to EQ it out. That's how you take out high-pitched noise, very specific high-pitched noises. You look for the spike in the whoosh thing on the EQ.
The real-time analyzer?
Yes, that's what's called. The whoosh thing. It shows the waveforms. Or the hertz.
You look for a spike in the frequency, and then
frequency,
you cut it.
That's the word. I forgot the word frequency. And then you take the dot and you go, whoop, turn it all the way down. All right. Anyway, so 646 minutes of content and even more than that of editing. Okay, these flower things keep spinning and it's making me dizzy. We're going to move on. Whoosh. Whir. Okay. You can't hear us, but we're clapping right now. Okay. Thanks. That was all part one. Okay. We're going to keep going. One episode really grabbed your listeners' attention. Can you guess your number one? Rachel already told me. which one it was, but our options here are number 83, plugging things in is half the job, featuring our good friend Isaiah Schwani. Number 14, Jeremy Renner, which is an old classic. Number 82, An Absolute Banger, which was our episode about classical music. And I happen to know that the number one episode was Plugging Things In Is Half the Job, which with the focus on lighting. I don't remember the exact number that Rachel said. Whoa, your podcast loves to travel. Yes, we do have listeners from all around the globe. I do know that. I've seen the stats. This is kind of a cool effect. It's like a little, I can only describe it. This is an audio medium. Okay, we'll just, woo, we're zooming in again. Stars, flowers, globes, your top five. Oh, we were listened to in 10 countries. Our top five were United States. Makes sense. We're based in the United States. Australia. Hello, Australia. United Kingdom. Hello, UK. South Africa. Hey, UK. Nope. Sorry.
Wow.
UK's not there anymore. Hi, South Africa.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. Have you seen those memes since the new prime minister of the UK is an Indian guy of Indian origin?
No, I have
People
not.
Are like, man, India really pulled an Uno reverse on the UK. Because, yeah, the prime minister is now an Indian guy.
That is an elite reference
to
history.
And number five is Germany. Guten Tag, Deutsch people.
Dude, the 10 countries thing is sick.
I don't know the other 10. Do they show it later?
Probably if we go dig into like our actual stats, but they just show our top five.
Yeah, yeah, it's really cool to and kind of crazy to think that people from other countries like know of our existence.
Right? It's probably just a bunch of bots, but if not, hello, people from other countries. We're thrilled you're here.
Yes, thank you for listening. Something magical happened between January 9th and January 15th. Okay? You had 320% more listeners compared to your average week.
Yeah, everyone was trying to escape all the news about January 6th, so they just binged our podcast.
Well, that was 2021, though. This is 2022. Although, I guess...
Wait, that was... Oh my gosh, you're right.
It's been two freaking years since the insurrection.
It's been 2 years?
Yeah.
What? Where has time gone?
We've been podcasting, girl.
Oh my God.
And you've been graduating and getting a new job and moving halfway across the country. You've been busy. You've had other things to pay attention to. Why 320% more? That's crazy. Which episode was that? Was that the one where we talked about lighting with Shwani?
No, we wouldn't have released that in January.
Pretty sure it was January. We'll have a look. Okay. See, this just goes to show you that numbers are just numbers. They don't explain. They don't give context. They don't say why. Whoever said sharing is caring was probably a fan of yours. Okay.
Okay. The one with Schwani was January 22nd.
Okay. So as I move my mouse along the screen, it shows our album cover just like trailing wherever my mouse goes. And it's really funny. Hang on. I'm going to take a video of this and then post it later, so that you can see what I'm talking about.
Iconic.
Whoever said sharing is caring is probably a fan of yours. Your podcast, you know, these effects remind me of an Ant-Man, the Ant-Man movies, whenever they whoosh, like shrink down. It's like everything is coming at you. That's what it reminds me of. All these graphics just coming at you. Okay. Your podcast was in the top 25% most shared globally. That is mostly me.
Yeah, checks out.
And Rachel. Yeah, 81% from Instagram. That was all me. 14% direct link. It's just people sharing like, hey, listen to this, and sending a link. And 5% other. Very interesting. Interesting. Whoosh. I'm just going to say whoosh between slides because that's the sound that comes to my head. What are post-production podcast listeners like exactly? We would love to know. We would love to interact with you more, and for you to interact with us more, really, because we don't like initiating conversations with strangers. But you can follow us on TikTok at Post Production Pod, or Instagram at Rachel H and H at Kiri underscore Jones, KYRI, Kiri. Okay, what are Post Production Podcast listeners like exactly? Let's find out. Whoa. Calculating listeners' personalities. Your listeners' podcast personality is the enthusiast. Okay, your listeners are super fans. Yeah. When their favorite podcast releases a new episode, they're among the first to know, going above and beyond to show their support. Meaning we have like very little growth, but that's fine. Mm-hmm. Hey, you know, that was my personality for my personal Spotify Wrapped. It's just like, I have my favorite singers, my favorite artists, and those are who I listen to. We'll get into it.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Thank you guys for being loyal listeners. I appreciate you all. Have you been working out? No. Thanks for reminding me. Your podcast saw gains this year. Okay. 12% more followers than last year.
Amazing.
Hello, new people.
Which, again, is appalling given the fact that we took 4 months off.
Right.
So I can't believe y'all stick with us, much less more of you have shown up.
Right. Post-production podcast. Thank you for sharing your podcast with the world. You're welcome. Speaking of sharing, we made something special for you. So this is going to be like the graphic with all the stats on it.
Yeah, yeah. I think so. Okay.
Cool. So we will share this when this episode gets released and probably also share it to our site. Which color should we do, Rachel? Should we do orange, purple, or black?
Ooh, I think either purple or black. I like the spooky colors.
But orange is also spooky because Halloween.
Yeah, true. But the purple and the black are closer to our podcast vibe.
Let's go with purple. Well, what a year. What a year for podcasting. This is our third year in total.
Oh my gosh. I feel old.
Right? That's true. I think our 100th episode is going to line up pretty closely with our third anniversary.
Dang.
Although, wait, we have 3 episodes until 100. So that'll be in early January. And then our anniversary is the first weekend of February, because that's when we first released our first episode.
Yeah, so pretty close.
Mm-hmm. We'll do something special for that, too. So if we run out of, or if there's too many ideas for the 100 and we don't have enough time, we'll just save it for the 3-year shebang.
I was going to say, we're going to have a birth-iversary month at this point.
Oh, yeah. Birth-iversary. Nice. Okay. So what about your own Spotify Wrapped? What are your thoughts?
Okay. So my own...
What would you like to share?
Okay. Yeah. Here's what I'll share. My immediate first impression from my Wrapped was that I listened to actually and literally half the amount of music this year that I did last year.
Oh.
I realized it's because last year I listened to over 100,000 minutes of music. And it was like a number I'd been low-key shooting for a couple of years. So I was pretty stoked about it.
That's a lot.
I know.
How?
I studied a lot. Mm. And I also took a lot of long road trips.
True.
The thing that jumped out at me about last year's too was that I listened to like 30,000 minutes of podcasts.
Oh, yeah.
Which is iconic. What stuck out at me this year was that I listened to, again, half the number of minutes of music. Let me skip through. Yeah, so this year I only listened to 55,444 minutes total on Spotify, but I still spent 17,124 minutes listening to podcasts. So, not bad.
How many of those minutes were us?
Here's where my dirty confession comes in.
Oh.
Post-production did not make my top 5, which is devastating.
Oh.
And I think it's because, number one, post-production releases less often than some of my favorite podcasts.
That's true.
The ones I listen to are the ones that release once a week, if not 2 or 3 times a week. Additionally, I'm a podcast binger. So, like, I'll save up like 30 episodes of a podcast and then I'll listen to all of them in a week.
Yeah.
So like, I think it's genuinely just that, like, even if I listen to like every episode we put out, which is sometimes non-realistic just because we record the episodes. So oftentimes I'll like share them with my friends and then like go back and listen later once I forgot what it was like to record it. If that makes any sense.
That I can agree with that, yeah.
I always describe it to people as like, if you listened to your like everyday conversations with friends played back to you via headphones, it'd be kind of a weird experience for you.
Yeah, well, I listened to it twice because first I experience it and then I edit it.
Right.
And then I listen to it. So I guess it's 3 times. Yeah, that's why those older episodes are fun to listen to now.
Because yeah.
I don't remember what we said anymore.
Yeah, no, I'm the same way. I love listening to our older episodes, but if I go back and look at our catalog, the most recent episodes are the ones that I have not listened to as much.
Well, you better get on that.
Whereas the older episodes, I've played a bunch. But
you can binge us forward, yeah?
That's true. Yeah, I do have some catching up to do. In terms of other Spotify Wrapped highlights, my top artist this year, after 3 years of having Black Bear as my top artist.
Forgot about Black that. Bear.
I finally knocked him out of that number one spot. And I was not surprised by my top artist, who was Lizzie McAlpine.
I have never heard of her. Who is that?
She is an absolute gem. She does like, she came out of like kind of a folk pop background, but is, I don't even know what I would call her now. She's kind of like an alternative pop artist, I guess. One of those ones that like somehow consistently defies genre, but like is just so pleasant to listen to. She put out an album this year. For those of you that don't know who Lizzie McAlpine is, she put out an album this year called 5 Seconds Flat that is legendary. Like, it's nominated for so many awards. It features people on it like Jacob Collier and Phineas, who is Billie mm-hmm. Eilish's brother slash producer.
Those are some good, like, musician names. Like
no, they really... And Lizzie McAlpine is an amazing
like
musician.
Musical people.
Like, yeah. If you listen to her stuff, it's not typical, like, four-chord pop. Like, she'll write a pop song that the lyrics, like, make you sob, and also she uses, like, 11 different types of chords. Like, it's crazy. I've never heard anyone write music like her. So I, like, obsessively listened to her stuff. I'm trying to find how many times I listened to just Lizzie McAlpine. I listened to 2,257 artists this year, which is not bad.
Wow.
But my top artist was Lizzie McAlpine, and I spent 1,078 minutes listening to her, and I'm in the top 0.5% of listeners. Anyways, that's my one brag.
My Spotify Wrapped, this is the first one pretty much ever that is not embarrassing. Because a lot of times it's like some weird... just like EDM song that's kind of a meme. Meme songs are always so catchy and in the genres that I like. So it's super annoying that they always end up pretty far up the list. But my top genres were pop, K-pop, EDM, something called Brazilian EDM.
That's iconic.
I don't know what that is. I don't what either. Song contributed to that song or songs.
Is it like EDM and a wax? Or is it EDM from Brazil?
That sounds dangerous.
Right?
I assume it's EDM by Brazilian artists.
We hope.
But I don't know which artists those are. But my top artist was Sia. No surprise there, because my top song and album was LSD, the collaboration album between Labyrinth, Sia, and Diplo, therefore LSD. But my top song was Heaven Can Wait, which isn't even my favorite song from that album.
Huh.
So I don't know. And it was my most played song with 10 streams.
Iconically, Labyrinth was in my top five artists, so you I did and I see have that. A common yeah. interest.
Yeah, well, and Labyrinth and Diplo were both in my top five as well, 4 and 5 respectively.
Iconic.
Because I listened to that album a lot, and I listened to a few more Labyrinth songs as well, because he was pretty involved in the soundtrack for...
Euphoria.
Oh, Euphoria, yeah, and I listened to a few of those songs.
He also has an amazing, like, solo album out that he put out before Euphoria.
Yeah, I think I listened to some of that, too.
He did the soundtrack for both season 1 and season 2 of Euphoria, but I think part of the reason they found him was because of his 2019 album, Imagination and the Misfit Kid, which is so good. If you ever want like a solid Labyrinth listen, put Imagination and the Misfit Kid on. No shuffle, straight through. It's amazing.
Well, and you know, considering my top song only had 10 plays, everything else that appeared on like rank-wise is just super weird, like stuff that I didn't listen to that much actually, which is kind of funny because like my top five songs. Oh yeah, so artists, we'll go backtrack to artists. So Sia was number one, and then Blackpink, AJR, and Labyrinth and Diplo. So I think Sia, Blackpink, and AJR are those artists where I can just like go to their profile and hit shuffle because I like most of their songs. So I could do those. And Blackpink and AJR all released new content this year.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to listen to all those things as well. A very kind of weird and diverse group of artists.
Yeah.
And my top five, I'm kind of happy with it. I think that's kind of cool. I listened to 20,287 minutes.
Nice.
So, and I'm basic, so my top genre was pop.
Same.
But apparently I do also listen to a lot of EDM.
Yeah, you and I both landed on pop as our top genre, which is cool. Which cracks me up because I listen to like a decent variety of music, I think, to be honest. Everything from like hip hop to contemporary Christian music and, you know, all sorts of whack stuff. I was in a blues phase earlier this year, like, but it still cracks me up. Like, I'm consistently a pop girly when it comes to Spotify Wrapped.
Yeah, last year I was like really trying to diversify my genres on Spotify. So I got a much more interesting list last year, I remember. I listened to a lot of Eurovision that year, a little bit of classic rock, some K-pop.
And Eurovision was good that year.
It was. It was really, yeah. But this year it was just kind of meh. So not a whole lot of Eurovision songs ended up ranking very high.
Yeah, I'm looking for my top genre of last year.
But yeah, another song that made it into my top five was Audio, also from LSD. And then I had Issues by... totally forgot her name, but it was a big hit in like 2017. I played my, I rediscovered some of my old playlists at the beginning of this year.
The one by Julia Michaels.
That's her name.
I got issues.
Yeah.
You got them too. Yeah. She's a queen.
And then a song called Pretty Girl. It's like it was like a remix EDM party song. So those two songs were on my like 2017 playlist that I dug up from the grave. I was like, so what was I listening to my senior year of high school, freshman year of college? Because that was that year. All bangers all the way through. And then my number five was a song called That Man, which is a 1940s like jive song that Dang. I was like, oh, this is great. Also a banger. And I think it's great. But yeah, that's my Spotify Wrapped. We were my fourth most listened to podcast, so there's that, because I actually listen to us.
You're a loyal fan.
When we're done. I am. But this year, you know what finally happened?
What?
Apple Music finally released year-end stats.
Really?
They have, yes, going back to, they have one for each year going all the way back to 2017, which I believe is when Spotify first did it. So they're trying to make it seem like they've always had this, but they have not.
I was going to say, they're trying to catch up at this point.
Right, they haven't. So I'm going to blind react to my 2022 Apple Music replay, because like,
oh boy.
I listen to Apple Music when I am not in a mood to tolerate ads, which is usually when I'm driving. So this is where we get all of the random stuff in my driving playlist. So here we go. And it's called Apple Music Replay. You listened to 541 songs on Apple, which I guess isn't that bad. Okay, number one is Genius from the LSD album. I think that one was my favorite. Run Boy Run is my number two.
Oh my gosh.
I think that one's a popular one on TikTok. Oblivion, which is the Sia and Labyrinth song. Number four, Pretty Savage, Blackpink. And then another, number five is another TikTok song. Like, the album art is literally TikTok hits 2022. I don't know how to pronounce this, but the one's like, oh, see, bada vida. That one. Let's see. Yeah, this is a much more like real and raw look at my listening habits. Top 10. More Sia. Hey, Church Clap is my number eight.
Church Clap. Like, yeah. Unironically?
Yeah.
Iconic.
Listen to 348 artists. Let's see. Top artist, Sia again. I listened to a lot of Sia this year again. Okay, number two, they're counting LSD as a separate artist. So again, that's Labyrinth, Sia, and Diplo. Samuel Kim, who does like epic orchestrations of like movie soundtracks and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of cool. Number four, Blackpink, not surprised. And number five, Taylor Swift. All right. Okay, and 9 and 10 are the Chainsmokers and Alan Walker, which are like the things that I listened to in high school a lot in early college. 24 albums. Okay, number one, obviously LSD. Number two is the Nutcracker album by Bonn Classical Philharmonic.
This is getting better and better.
Yeah. Number three is Lover, Taylor Swift. Number four is Music by Sia. What? Number five is the Greatest Showman soundtrack.
Amazing.
I didn't listen to that much. No. I disagree. Maybe it's just like amount of songs from each album that I listen to. And maybe I listen to two songs from The Greatest Showman by accident.
By accident, she says.
Once. Yeah. Number 7 is the Prince of Egypt soundtrack.
Okay, but that deserves a place on any list.
That should have been number 5 at least. Okay, and then of course they made a playlist for me. You know, Apple Music, they're catching up. So other than that, how's your production week been?
Amazing. Oh man. Honestly, it's been a really weird production week.
Yeah, because Thanksgiving was last week, and so we're all just recovering.
Yeah, well, and then the majority of my week has been working funerals.
Oh.
Besides that, it's been like photo editing and filming videos.
The usual.
But today, actually, I was in the video instead of behind the camera.
Oh yeah. Yeah, what was that about?
So that was quite the experience. We do like a... kind of like a lot of churches will do like a bumper video as a transition between elements of the event.
Okay.
We do a host video as well, which is basically like, welcome to church. Here's an overview of like what we do. And we do a new one for each month because we have like different focuses each month. Obviously, we just like right now we're doing like an Advent like bumper video. And it's like, hey, welcome to church. If you've never been to our church, here's how we Christmas at church. Or whatever. Yeah. So I was the host of the January host. So I was like...
the host of the January host.
I was the host of the January host video, if you will. Mm-hmm. So I was all, hey, everyone, my name's Rachel, and this is my job title. Here at church, this is how we church. And if you also like to church, you can church more by doing these things with us this January.
So why were you selected for this? Not that you're not capable, but like, why?
Because I'm good on camera.
Okay, yeah, that's fair.
So,
because some people just aren't.
Yeah, so part of it was like, I'm pretty solid on camera, unfortunately for me.
And some people are liquid.
And the other part of it was they want staff people to like be doing these host videos. So it's right, not just like the same person every month.
It's like, here are the people behind everything. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, here are the people that are like actively working at this church and like want to help you like get connected. And we're trying to make it like a variety of staff. So it's not just like, oh, like only the pastors do host videos. It's everyone right. from like the pastors to like my friend, like the social media coordinator hosted like July or something like that. So we're all sort of like passing the baton.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah.
And it's not every day you get to be in front of the camera instead of behind it either. So.
Right. I do a pretty good flight attendant impression too. So it helps.
Oh, can we hear it?
Oh yeah. Well, I like got on for like my little mic check today before we started rolling. And I was like, hello and welcome to Church Airlines. I'm Rachel and I'll be your flight attendant this evening. Thank you for choosing Church Airlines. Here are some brief safety guidelines before we begin. Just remember, here we don't need jet fuel. We run on Jesus.
Nice.
Thank you.
I've never heard a flight attendant that happy, though.
That's true.
So I give it a 4 out of 5 cosmic brownies.
I think it's more like the stereotypical flight attendants. The real ones are like,
all right.
Good yep. morning. Thank you for flying Spirit Airlines. Please fasten your seat belts and remain seated until we have completed departure.
Yeah.
Complimentary beverages will not be offered during this regional flight from Charlotte, North Carolina to Virginia.
If you're dying of thirst, get over it.
If you need anything, please do not hesitate to press the flight attendant call button above you.
Yeah, she had a face to go with it, listener.
Yeah, there was a face. It's just hard to communicate a face via a podcast.
Yeah, well, she like pushed her head back and just like stared off into the middle distance.
I stared into the void.
With no soul. Yeah. She left her soul with Jesus and became a flight attendant.
Incredible.
Yeah, I haven't really done a whole lot these past couple weeks because I went back to Tejas for Thanksgiving and, you know. It's just family stuff. Oh, I saw Wakanda Forever.
Oh, finally.
So
what are your thoughts?
Do you want to talk about it now or do you want to wait like 2 months until it comes out on Disney Plus so people have more time to Watch it.
Oh boy. I feel like we talk about it now for the sake of timeliness.
Okay, okay. So if you haven't seen Wakanda Forever yet, just hold your horses, pause, go to the theater, watch it. Or if you're listening to this and it's on Disney Plus in whatever timeline you're in, watch it and then come back. Okay, okay. Ooh, I was so busy thinking about Spotify Wrapped, I forgot to prepare this. So this is the fourth MCU film that is led by a female main character. And it is by far the best one.
Completely agree.
Oh, yeah. It's this one, Wakanda Forever, led by Letitia Wright, Shuri. And then Eternals, Black Widow, and Captain Marvel. And, it was just, it was great. If you have issues with, like, ocean depths, this is, there are going to be some scenes that'll make you uncomfortable.
Do you have issues with ocean depths?
Well, I didn't, but that movie kind of made me think, oh, this is not.
Not a vibe.
It is not. Shuri was just, Letitia Wright, she was just amazing. I understand that she has the lesbians in a chokehold right now. Well, everyone really, but that's just what I saw on the internet. Just an incredible performance. I feel like I'm saying really generic things. I cannot get my thoughts in order. There was just so much.
It's hard to like put together concentrated thoughts about a movie that was just that overall good.
Yes.
Like I had just very few complaints about it.
Yeah. And like for a second there, like, okay, okay. Organize the thoughts. THOTS. So Shuri was given emotional depth and like nuance, and like there was an exciting build up and motivation to her gaining power, and I thought that was really well done.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas like Cersei from Eternals, like she was kind of the lead in Eternals, and she was always just kind of, even though she was several thousand years old, she was always just kind of very naive and never thought about, or she probably thought about it, but never really explored her power or anything like that. So, you know, it was, she was just kind of like the learning type of main character, which is kind of odd when your character has been doing the same thing for thousands of years. And then, I don't know, I just didn't think that was very well executed. Black Widow, as we've discussed, was a mid-tier Marvel movie. And as a character, of course, she's very emotionally stunted. And they tried to give her some depth by giving her a family and things like that. But
it did not work.
It didn't work, yeah. And that's something about Shuri, is that she was allowed to grieve.
Mm-hmm.
They gave her time to just sit in her emotions and grieve.
I think I appreciated that, like, it was a movie about grief.
Yes.
That was, like, soaked in grief from every angle, but you didn't spend the whole movie crying.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
I think is, like, the most accurate picture of grief, probably.
Yes. And, like, Shuri was, like, trying to block out any grief that she has. She didn't want to sit with her difficult emotions.
Mm-hmm.
She wanted to like solve the problem right now. And I thought that was an interesting take, because Black Widow and Captain Marvel are the same way, but they never let them grieve ultimately.
Mm-hmm.
Because they had things to grieve as well. Like Brie Larson was her, Carol Danvers had this whole past life that she never knew. And she has a moment where like she's in the yard talking with her friend where she is like, she's just kind of ranting though. And like Shuri does rant, but in the end, she has a moment where she just like quiets down and grieves. They didn't let Carol grieve any of the things that she lost or doesn't remember.
Mm-hmm.
They never let Black Widow, the one who's been there the whole time, they didn't let her grieve that she lost the only family she ever had. She didn't know her real family. She didn't know, like, she, of course, she has a lot of childhood trauma and things like that, but they could have had like this whole, they could have executed, I think they were trying to have her heal from all of that. I think that's what they were trying to do with the Black Widow movie, but that wasn't shown very well. It's just, but Black Panther Wakanda Forever nailed it with Shuri.
Mm-hmm.
And she, I always liked her, but now she is easily my favorite MCU character.
Yeah.
She's great.
Yeah, and I liked, again, like you said, I liked the progression where, like, she didn't instantly become in charge of Wakanda. She didn't instantly become Black Panther. the way that they staggered all of those plot points felt way more like natural and progressive and like allowed you to like see the growth of her character. Whereas like, I think the easy thing they could have done is been like, oh, T'Challa's dead. We open the movie with T'Challa being dead. Thus, Shuri is instantly in charge of Wakanda and she's the Black Panther.
Right.
But they didn't do that, which I think was a super smart move.
Well, it took me a minute to kind of figure out what the leadership situation was, because mm-hmm. it was just back to the mom. Right.
Yeah.
Oh, and I'm really glad they gave her more of a role. There were a lot of strong female characters, like legitimately.
Yeah.
And I think that was enjoyable.
Pretty much the whole cast of protagonists, I would say, that like stick out in my mind are the female characters.
Yes.
It's Shuri. It's her mom. It's the general.
Okoye.
It's T'Challa's girlfriend, wife.
Nakia. Yeah.
Nakia. That's it.
Lupita Nyong'o. Yeah.
Yeah. And even the new character that they introduced, Riri.
Oh, yes. Yes.
I almost wanted more out of that character than I ended up getting.
Yeah.
But she was kind of a fun, like, side character.
Yeah, she was fun. I mean, she did help out in the end.
Yeah, I do.
But I think they are going to do more with her in the future. Yeah.
I do hope they bring her back for more stuff. Yeah.
I think there's no way
they'll introduce someone that smart and accomplished into the world of the MCU and then never bring them up again.
Yeah, I think she's going to be like the new Iron Man, so to speak.
Yeah.
Because she's got her little makeshift Iron Man suit.
That's low-key how they positioned her for sure.
Yeah, yeah. You know, they're replacing all the original characters with, like, female versions. Because, like, Hawkeye, you've got, I forgot her character's name, but Hailee Steinfeld's character.
Yeah.
He's retiring, and now she's coming in to do it. Black Panther, now you have Shuri. I mean, Iron Man, obviously, we have Riri.
Are you thinking of the one from the Doctor Strange movie?
Yeah, Doctor Strange, you have America Chavez, and then we have She-Hulk now as well.
Oh, Lord.
I haven't watched that yet.
I haven't either.
I think I'll need to be in the right mood to watch it.
Yeah, mood.
So we'll talk about that if we've both watched it at some point. Anyway, I think that's an interesting move, going from all of these men to now all of these women. I think there needs to be a better balance than that, instead of just swinging from one extreme to another.
Yeah.
We'll see how it plays out. Oh, Loki. We now have Sylvie.
True.
As well. The outfits were all just, the costumes, everything was just so great.
Yeah.
The music, Ludwig Göransson nailed it again.
What did you think of Namor?
Namor? I thought his little feet wings were kind of stupid.
Oh, I did too.
Like, as soon as he flew out of the water, I laughed out loud in the theater. And nobody else laughed. I was like, oh, that's not supposed to be funny. Okay. But I also saw on the internet, everyone is shipping Namor and Shuri.
Ew.
Not everyone, but a lot of people. I was like, okay.
I guess there was that moment midway through the movie where, like, he was trying to talk her into an alliance. And she was like,
yeah.
You could see her wrestling in her mind, like, almost tipping that direction.
Yeah.
And I think that was a moment that, like, they deliberately kind of built up to have a lot of tension in it.
Yeah, so I think they could build it up to that.
Yeah, I was like, whoa, things are almost getting a little spicy here.
Yeah, and Shuri's supposed to be like 25, so it's fine.
And then he turned into a jerk and like she ended up kicking his butt in desert battle. So like...
And then he painted a mural about it at the end.
Yeah.
In that end sequence. And he was, like, you know, stroking it and everything. The mural, that is. And anyway, I'm glad they didn't rush any sort of, like, romancy thing, but they did. They left it open for a possibility, I think. But they didn't make it obvious that that's where they're going with it. So they might not.
I also think, though, because they also set it up for Namor and his people to, like, kind of come back and, like, be a problem again.
True, yeah.
Because it was made, they left it on a cliffhanger there in that, like, it is very obvious that, like, Namor is, like, not ready to give up the fight and is just sort of, like, biding his time.
Yeah, We'll see. We'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm excited for more Shuri Black Panther. For a minute there, I thought they were going to make Nakia Black Panther, but I'm glad it's Shuri.
I like that they kept using her as a spy.
Yes.
Like, I think that suits her character so well.
Yes. I appreciated the Michael B. Jordan cameo. That was kind of fun, I guess. I thought it was also an interesting take to have her see him instead of
right
like her parents or her brother. So yeah, those are all the thoughts I can think right now.
Yeah, back to your point about the music.
Oh yes,
I am obsessed.
I've been listening to the soundtrack
with this, and oh, the soundtrack, you guys, Ludwig Göransson just gets better with every film he does.
Yeah, my dad said you can only be a composer if your name is Ludwig, apparently.
So true.
Because he also did the soundtrack for The Mandalorian. He's one of Childish Gambino's go-to producers. So yeah, he's done a lot of really, really cool things. But yeah, I've been listening to the soundtrack. I cannot listen to the Siren song. That one is like haunting.
Right?
Can't do that.
No, that soundtrack is like my get up and go in the morning soundtrack. Like it just gets me amped.
It does. The same goes for the original Black Panther soundtrack as well.
Mm-hmm.
That was a good one. Although some of the like songs with lyrics were a little more solemn this time around.
Yeah.
Well, and obviously the movie is about grief.
Definitely yeah. Reflective of like the grief. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm glad they got Rihanna to do some songs.
Right?
I was like, I recognize this voice. And then in the credits, it said Rihanna. And I was like, oh.
Yeah. No, and I liked her stuff too. I was definitely glad they had her on board.
Yes. Rihanna is like a really good vocalist. People don't. That, like, people just think of, like, whack, 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 whack. Like, come on. She can do things like this.
Oh, yeah.
She does so much more than just that. I do like her as a singer. Anything else to say?
Not necessarily.
All right. Oh, have you by chance watched Andor yet?
No, not yet.
Okay, well, all the episodes are out, so you can just...
I need to hop to it.
Just go right through them, yep.
It might be my binge of the weekend.
Absolutely. 12 episodes, all about 45 minutes or so, so...
It will be my binge of 2 weekends.
Well, it's actually like 2.5 minutes of opening titles and then like 10 minutes of credits. Or not 10 minutes, but like several minutes of credits.
Right.
And then the actual episode is probably closer to 30 minutes.
Checks out.
The first two episodes move pretty slowly, so you'll just get through them. And then the third episode, things really start amping up. So
noted.
Just so you know, just get through it. And then it happens. Everything happens.
Excellent.
Because I am looking forward to talking about that as well. So other than Wakanda Forever, I helped decorate for Christmas, plugged in a lot of lights, which is a very familiar feeling for me. So, you know, that's not media production, but it is a thing we do in production.
Fair.
That's right. We plug things in.
We decorated for Christmas on one of the bigger stages at one of the churches. And when I tell you, I spent 2 full business days on top of a very tall ladder. Plugging bistro lights into dimmer packs. Oh boy. Let's just say I'm not looking forward to taking them back down again because I did a very thorough job putting them up.
Those things are not going to fall.
No, they're not. I will say, and this is something I learned. Well, this is something my whole staff learned. So if you are out there in the production world, a nerd who for some reason needs programmable bistro lights, which is not a normal thing to need. But say that you want to program your Christmas lights like I did, you should be aware that if you buy bistro lights that are LED, even if you plug like 8 of them, hypothetically, 8 strands into like one dimmer pack, which is not overly like technically advisable in terms of number of receptacles you actually have.
Receptacles.
The thing is, bistro lights draw so little power if they're LED that the dimmer pack won't be able to shut them off all the way. I kept like trying to, like, I'd be programming like blackout and it would be blackout for all the fixtures except the bistro lights would stay on 1%. And so you could see them still. And I was like, what is this? And I looked it up And I was like, what is going on? Like, there is no explanation for why these won't turn off. Because I thought it was something like in my lighting software.
Right.
If you will. Yeah. I was like, I'm an idiot. I'm not a lighting person. Like, it's probably me. Turns out it's not.
Isn't that always a joy to find out?
You have to compensate for the fact that you're literally not drawing enough power for the dimmer to fully shut off anything. So that was how I learned about the existence of LED dummy high performance load device is load devices. It's like literally a fake looking plug.
Right.
That you just plug into one spot on the dimmer pack.
And then it just works.
And it draws just enough power that the dimmer pack can like control everything again.
That's funny. That's interesting.
Isn't that crazy? So now you know for when you inevitably need to plug multiple strands of bistro lights.
Into a dimmer
ADJ dimmer pack.
Right, yeah.
Now you're aware.
Yep.
You learn something every week.
And that's why we have this podcast. So we can talk these things out, keep a journal of our weird experiences.
Indeed.
That is honestly a fun thing about going back to old episodes.
I know.
It's like, oh yeah, that's what we were working on at the time.
Man. I can listen back to 3 years ago and go, man, I knew nothing.
Right? Yeah, that's an interesting conversation point that we probably don't have time to talk about.
Oh, definitively not. That may be during our birth anniversary month, we talk about where we were then versus where we are now.
Yes. Well, thank you all for listening to the post-production podcast. As we said, you can find us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Anchor, and
Apple Podcasts.
Apple Podcasts. Yes, Apple. Sorry, Apples. You can also follow us on TikTok at Post-Production Pod and on Instagram at Rachel H and H and at KYRI underscore Jones.
Indeed.
We will put out more TikToks.
Yep. We say that every week. Anyways, we're glad you're here. Thanks for jumping in. Until next time, be sure to give us a follow on whatever podcast platform you're on so that you can catch our next few episodes.
Leave us a comment and review.
Indeed. And if preferably you are like one. Me and you have missed out on some of our more recent episodes, be sure to go back and take a look at the rest of our back catalog because we have almost 100 episodes out. So take your pick. Listen to something that sounds interesting to you and let us know if you liked it.
Well, you know, because we have two extra episodes. Technically, our next episode will be our 100th upload, but officially, our 102nd episode will be our 100th episode.
True. We have a couple of standalones.
Yes. Until then, until next time, we'll see you later. Hear you later. Talk to you later. Yeah, talk to you later. All right, this has been the Post-Production Podcast. Thank you for flying Post-Production Airlines. Please exit out the...
Goodbye now.
All right, goodbye.